Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, August 8th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. We're picking up with reading Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 1 through 14, Psalm 73, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I went to a trusty resource, the Old Testament Theology by Dr. Paul House, to get more information about Deuteronomy chapter 23, and this is what he says. Israel's assembly and camp constitute the physical context for Israel's community. As such, the assembly in particular defines neighbor within the covenant setting. Persons emasculated according to Canaanite worship practices or born as children dedicated to foreign gods may not be part of Israel's religious and legislative assembly. You're going to hear about this in just a second when we read. Nor may persons committed to altering Israel's worship to include pagan elements enter the assembly. So anybody who has to do with Canaanite religion has to stay clear of the worship center. Foreigners are not excluded forever, but they must wait at least three generations before qualifying. Such laws approximate modern statutes about foreign-born persons serving in government. As Leviticus 15 has already indicated, Israel must be careful to keep clean before the Lord. The very camp itself mediates God's presence, so a holy community must take care to preserve the camp as a witness to God's glory. Deuteronomy 23, 1 through 14. No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. No one born of a forbidden marriage, nor any of his descendants, may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. No Ammonite or Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. For they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt. And they hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor in Aram-Naharaim to pronounce a curse on you. However, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but turned the curse into a blessing for you. Because the Lord your God loves you, do not seek a treaty or friendship with them as long as you live. Do not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. Do not abhor an Egyptian, because you lived as an alien in his country. The third generation of children born to them may enter the assembly to the Lord. When you are encamped against your enemies, keep away from everything impure. If you or your men is unclean because of a nocturnal emission, he is to go outside the camp and stay there. But as evening approaches, he is to wash himself, and at sunset he may return to the camp. Designate a place outside the camp where you can go to relieve yourself. As part of your equipment, have something to dig with, and when you relieve yourself, dig a hole and cover up your excrement. For the Lord your God moves about in your camp to protect you and to deliver your enemies to you. Your camp must be holy, so that he will not see among you anything indecent and turn away from you. Let's turn over now to the Psalms. I'm using my old favorite Bible so you might can hear the pages turning. We're going to Psalm 73. Remember, the Psalms are broken up into five books, and Psalm 73 begins book number 3. A Psalm of Asaph. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, "I will speak thus," I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream, when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. In my Bible, I have several of the verses underlined. I have underlined verse 17. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. We must come to God to gain correct perspective and understanding. The psalmist is worried because all of these people who don't seem to follow God are prospering. But when he comes to God, he understands that ultimately he will prosper because of his relationship with the Most High. Verse 23 is underlined as well. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. We turn this into a prayer. Please, Lord, will you guide us? Will you hold us by our right hand? As for me, as it says in verse 28, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Lord, be our refuge today. Let's turn over now to 2 Thessalonians, and we'll be reading entire chapter 3. Remember, 2 Thessalonians is in a group of books that all start with T. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then Titus. The titles in this section are Requests for Prayer and Warning Against Idleness, and then we'll finish out the book with Final Greetings. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teachings you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Thanks so much for listening along as we read God's word together. Will you pray with me? Father, we give you thanks for your word, which reminds us that you are present with us, that you hold us by the right hand, that you lead, guide, and protect us. We pray, Lord, that your peace would cover us at all times and in every way, and that the Lord and his grace would be with us all. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our brother, our Savior, our Lord. Amen.